Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast, where you join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Etheria Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between religion, science, metaphysics, philosophy, and mysticism, all of which are really only aspects of the selfsame quest for truth. Please note this is an independent program, not produced or fact-checked by the Etheria Society. Today, our guest is Sal Rochelle. Hello, Sal.
Hello.
It's wonderful you could join us.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And where are you?
At the moment, I'm in the southeastern United States in Alabama, visiting my wife's family.
Okay. It's because you get around. It's hard to keep track of you.
It's hard to keep track of myself, yes. We're traveling later today to Atlanta, which is in the southeastern U.S., and then in a few days, we're going to be going somewhere else.
Wow. Well, where do you get all the energy? Which practices do you use?
Well, I would say the best practice I use is a combination of rebirthing and a technique called timeline healing. And if we have time, perhaps I will be able to talk more about timeline healing.
Okay. Well, Deborah, what should we get into first?
Well, I would like to be introduced to our two new guests that have just joined us. I've seen that Jan, I've had correspondence with you, Jan. So I am familiar with your role. But Jolanta, I'm not.
Yes,
I'm not
hello.
Where are you from?
I am Jolanta. I live in Latvia, in Northern Europe.
Okay. So Jack asked me where I'd like to get started. Well, I'm particularly interested in the yoga service in Karma Yoga. That is the path that our master has told us that we are to take. And my eye was drawn when I did my little bit of research on one of, Sal, one of your lessons, which I've got to remember what it's, well, on the other page, I've got it written down, Pathways to Enlightenment via Selfless Service. So if we can kick off with that about what it actually means and why it's important that we actually do have put ourselves in service for humanity, why that is so important to our own progression as well as the larger picture. So if I could kick that out.
Yeah, so I'd like to approach that topic from a more cosmic perspective. And that is that who we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. I like to say it's non-negotiable, because even if we believe we're powerless, we're still powerful. We will have an experience of feeling of being powerless if we believe that we're powerless. If we believe that we cannot help the planet, we cannot serve our fellow human beings, then we will create circumstances in our life that will attempt to prove that belief system that we're powerless. Conversely, the solution is to recognize how powerful we really are. We do make a difference in this world. It doesn't mean we have to be giving constantly to charity or working at an orphanage, although this may be great things to do, but our presence here makes a huge difference on the planet. And I'm always reminded that here in the holiday season of that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You've probably all seen it. And the guardian angel shows the main character what his life would look like, what the world would look like if he had never been born. And it was shocking. All the interactions he had with different people in his life that led to the world being the way it is. Now, some of us have, done interviews that reach thousands of people, or we've done events or podcasts or whatever, where it's obvious that we're changing the world. But some of us, it's not so obvious. But my point is that we all are very powerful, and we all have the ability to be of great service. So that's the first step, is recognizing that we're powerful. And of course, society doesn't teach us that. It teaches us we're just one little human being. Maybe we can go vote every 4 years or something and hope that that somehow makes a difference. But, you know, society doesn't teach that we're powerful, creative, spiritual beings, even though the Bible does, for those Christians who actually read the Bible. So that's our starting point. If we want to be of maximum service, we have to recognize who we are. So this is basic and cosmic at the same time, but it's the starting point, because otherwise we're going to try and be a good person and do good in the world or make a difference, give money to charity or whatever the method is that we're trying to be good. So that's my starting point. And then, of course, we can get practical and say, well, what are some practical steps I can take to maximize my service? And of course, the first one is to understand the human ego. The ego is the belief in separation from God. That is the definition of the ego. It identifies with the material form. It identifies with the persona or mask. Persona is Latin for mask, our personality, which is a map over our real self. So we have to break our identification with the ego, with the little self. Yes, of course, we need to take care of these human bodies. We will be of maximum service if we're healthy and present. But that's just the starting point. The next step is to recognize, first of all, there is no separation. It's an illusion. And modern physics has proven that. The non-locality principle of quantum physics has demonstrated in a laboratory, we are not separate. Everything is connected in the universe. We are connected to the galaxy behind me. Every star in that galaxy is a part of who we are, and we are a part of every star in that galaxy. It goes both directions. You could say we're living in a hologram, but it's a hologram, a projection of a single point, which scientists call the Big Bang, this projection out from a single point or singularity, as they call it. So we are literally one, figuratively and literally one. And our ability to recognize that automatically puts us in a service to others modality instead of a service to self modality. So that's my introduction on the topic. So if you want to zero in on something.
Yeah, did you get a chance? Because mostly our audience is Aetherius Society members. Did you get a chance to read anything about the society?
You know, I have encountered the Aetherius Society at different times over the years. It's just a glance here, a glance there. And being relatively telepathic, I can tune in to the organization and the people that make it up and get a feel for, you know, what type of audience we have here. I would say, I'm going to use the word advanced because everybody pretty much understands that word. And when I say advanced, I mean there are levels and degrees of awakening. And I would say that the Aetherius Society generally been working on themselves for a while. They have some understanding of the cosmic relationships and this sort of thing. So I'm not starting with, you know, what is an angel or what is the chakra or things like that. And so when we're talking about service work, we're not just talking about giving to charity or working at an orphanage or things like that. We're talking
Oh, you think you're frozen a little bit there, Sal. Maybe
simply our physical presence. Obviously, it's way more than that. There's an energy field that we are broadcasting or radiating continuously out into the world all the time. And we're connected through a filament of light fibers, sort of like a fiber optic network, what I call the astro and etheric planes, to every other being in creation. Some of that we don't like to contemplate, such as
We're one with murderers and rapists and terrorists and so on, but we're also sages and yogis and mystics. So it all depends on where you place your focus, really.
Are these 12-dimensional creator gods you mentioned, are these ascended masters or cosmic masters? Just seeing how the teachings tie in together.
Yeah, I have spirit guides that I work with. I do work with Lord Sananda, who I call the oversoul of Jesus, or you could say the Christed oversoul or higher self of Jesus. And he's considered an ascended master. I'm familiar, of course, with the archangels, Archangel Michael. I've communicated with a few times, but I don't work with him extensively. And then I work with a group called the Founders, which are often called creator gods. They come from what I call level 12, which is the highest level in our local universe. And then I also work with a group of beings called the Arcturians. They're similar to other channels working with Arcturians. There's overlap between my group and the group of Arcturians that other channels work with. So those are some of the basics. And then I have my personal spirit guide, Leah, that I often work with in personal sessions. So I'm connected with the Order of Melchizedek and various other cosmic orders as well. They are like my extended family. The various beings on the various levels and dimensions that are working with the earth.
It's how does like, it work? Do you channel them? You get the thoughts into your head or do you project astrally? How do you
connect? I get basically telepathic transmission. The thoughts are transmitted into my mind. And then they're decoded by the superconscious mind into usable language. And it's done through what I call batch mode, which means it's an old-fashioned computer term. It means that the downloads are already there. They're already in place. And now I'm simply accessing the files. So, and of course we point to here because we're taught that that's where it is, but it's really a field of energy around the body where the downloads come in from the cosmos, from the other beings, from their energy field around their being.
Which are not teachings that you get people on your level, so you must be very advanced because otherwise they would fry your circuits, no? Dr. King,
when I bring through the Founders, only about 2% of their energy actually enters my body. I don't consider myself an accomplished yogi, and I cannot handle a huge influx of level 12 energy into this body, it would probably burn it up. So that's why I call it telepathic transmission. Conscious channeling is more in depth than telepathic transmission. When my personal spirit guide Leah and I are working together, I call that conscious channeling because she's at what I call upper level 6. And so we have a close vibration. Our vibrational match, but the Founders, they have to come down about 5 levels in order to communicate with humanity.
Do they use intermediaries?
Well, they use what some people call midway stations, which is like step-down transformers. It's it's a region of space, sort of like an airlock on a spaceship, where you acclimate to the lower frequency, and then from there you go into the realms that human beings can access, which in this case would be the higher mind or the superconscious mind. So it's a process of stepping down the frequencies so that they are usable for humanity.
Well, Deborah must be bursting with questions here. I've just...
Well, not bursting with questions, but I've got a whole load of parallel thoughts coming through. And I'm just going to pick on the last one with you, Sal, if I can. We're told when our master and the other two adepts went to clean up the lower astral realms, their spaceship actually did a similar thing to come up through the levels. So they went down to level 4 and then... They actually got some damage on on this atomic mission, that's what it was called, the atomic mission, and the spaceship suffered some damage, and they managed to limp, and what our master says, he managed to limp it through the levels to bring it to bring it up. And it was, as you've just said, in my mind, when I read that, it was almost like changing lanes on a freeway, where you went like, you had to go out to the, that you go a bit faster, and then you go out to the next lane, you go a bit faster. But then it was that sort of concept that my simple brain gave me that as a vision. And I got that same vision as you were talking to me about the midway. So suddenly in my small heart, it's just opened up to that. Cause just enough to get those confirmations, if you want, to that different words meaning the same underlining stuff, because truth is truth, eh? So, yeah.
Sure. And of course, an analogy that's down to earth, especially if you're an electrical engineer, you can't put a 220,000 volt circuit into your household appliances or it'll burn up. So you have these high tension wires, and then you have transformers that bring it down maybe 1,000 times to 220 volts. And then maybe depending on whether you're in Europe or in America, you might step it down to 110 volts, and then your appliances work. And so it's kind of like that with the human bodies. I talk to trance channels. I'm not a trance channel. It works for some people, but it's actually rather difficult. I've seen some trance channels that have to be helped back out of their trance session because of the need to adjust to the frequencies of the human versus the entity coming through. And, sometimes it has unpleasant effects. Some channels really hurt their bodies if they're not. And some of the blame would have to be put on the entities if the entities are not aware of the effect they're having on the human body of the channel. Then they're partially at fault for that sort of thing as well.
You also usually get lower entities as well, I'm led to believe.
Well, I went to John of God's Ashram in Brazil back before all the scandals came about. And when I heard about the scandals, I just said, well, okay, this is very predictable, because when I looked at John of God, he was like a grand central station for entities. It's like, oh, just come in and use me. I don't care what your level of vibration is. Just use me, you know. That's what can happen if people don't use discrimination and set boundaries with spirit beings, just like you set boundaries with human beings.
And of course, that fits so well with the method that Dr. King used, because he would go into a positive trance state. So he'd take himself up to a samadhic state, and he would channel in masters like Master Jesus and cosmic masters. But he would be, and you'd actually see his voice would change. So we're very fortunate to have the actual vibration of the communicator, which of course is a lot easier. Well, I feel it's a lot easier to actually get a sense of what's behind the words, so I feel very privileged to listen to those. But to go to the main point, when Dr. King would come out of that trance state, he said that he could weep because his feet would hurt so much. Because of course, he'd paralyzed the whole of his body up to the higher chakras so that he would be able to bring in the word by word communication. And we're also told that anything over an hour was like really dangerous. How much can a human body take? So that fits so, well. So yes, if you like, he went through that suffering so that we could get the vibration of the communicator, but he was very, very discriminating on who he was going to allow to use this physical body.
I've been working with the same few guides for the last 20 years, and I very rarely ever step outside of my specific group of guides for that reason. It's for my protection as well as anyone who's around. But on the other hand, I also keep coming back to what I started with, which is that we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. And if we're truly aware of who we are, then we simply radiate love and compassion to any entities that are not at a positive level of vibration. Of course, I'm using positive and negative in the traditional meaning of those words. Positive means a being who accelerates our evolution, our understanding, helps us expand our awareness, helps empower us. And a negative being would be one that hinders or obstructs or interferes with our natural soul growth and evolution. So using those definitions, we have to recognize that even negative beings are powerful, creative, spiritual beings. And they may be creating negatively using a distorted or service to self modality, but they're still powerful beings. And this is the reason why the Ascension program has been taking longer than originally planned to implement on the earth. And because negative beings are powerful and there's a lot of negativity on the earth, I think we've all noticed that. And so it's taking longer, that the program is still intact. The program for the new earth is still intact. It's just taking a little bit longer than originally predicted because of the powerful negative vibrations on the planet. Now, ultimately, positive and negative are meaningless. When you get to a certain level of vibration, there's just God, there's just oneness. But obviously, at these lower levels of vibration, there's the appearance of duality, light and dark, good or bad, right or wrong, you know. So within this dimension that we find ourselves, the negatively polarized beings seem to have a lot of power. And I always like to qualify that and say seem to, because true power comes from within. And if you're trying to control or manipulate other human beings, you're not coming from true power. If the power of God is within me, why would I need to control another human being? The concept would be meaningless. It's like, well, everything's already within me. There's nothing I need to get from another human being that I don't already have, except maybe another perspective on reality, you know? So when you would talk about these so-called power elite or so-called dark cabal or dark Illuminati or whatever, we're talking about beings who are in a state of false power. They're not in touch with the true God presence within, so they feel they have to take from others or control, oppress, enslave, coerce others into doing their bidding. And they may have big armies and militaries behind them to make it look even more formidable. But they don't have true power. They've lost touch with their true power. So I always like to put that into perspective, because so many of us give our power away to these so-called, you know, banking elites or secret societies or whatever it is, you know, that seem to want to control everybody. And so that's also part of this being of maximum service is, oh, the power is within me. It's not in Visa or MasterCard, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So how would, if you was to give a number one tip to somebody that's listening to this podcast on what they could be doing as part of their daily routine to check in and make sure that they are radiating their highest vibration, what would that be?
Step one would be perhaps an affirmation or a statement of truth that they maybe start the day with. But, and my favorite one is, I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being. To start with that, and then maybe add some breathing or yoga or meditation or maybe some movement, Tai Chi, Qigong, some type of practice that helps quiet the mind. It could be breathing from 1 to 4 on the inhale and then breathing 1 to 4 on the exhale. They're most simple Kriya-based technique. Or you can expand and elaborate from there. But if you notice right now, if you were to count your inhale and your exhale 1 to 4, your mind would start to quiet down a little bit. And so, you know, most people wake up in the morning and think, well, what do I have to do today? Oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. I forgot to do this. I forgot to do that. The monkey mind starts spinning almost the minute we wake up. And then we're going to try to go to sleep at night. And, oh, I forgot to do this today. I guess I'll have to do that tomorrow. You know, all of that spinning. And 3/4 of that is unnecessary. You know, we're on a plane that 35,000 feet in the air, and we're thinking about something we can do nothing about until we land. So why are we thinking about it? You know, it's like, oh, I need to write myself a note or put a note in my phone or something like that. And when I land, ding, oh, I need to do this. Okay. Why do I think about it all the way 3 hours of flying time and obsessing about what I need to do that I can do nothing about? Those kind of ways that we kind of squander our energy through this constant monkey mind, as I call it. So if we wake up with an affirmation, I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, what would spirit within have me do today? Or what would higher self or God presence, I am presence, have me do today? You know, how can I be of maximum service today? That would be a good way to start the day.
That's good. Yeah, to thank teachers. You. All ties Sorry, Jack. Service, you know, these messages we're getting through. I noticed on your website there was a 10-part history of humanity. That's a lot to summarize now, but could you give us a little bit of history of humanity?
Yeah, obviously this is not the history you get in your public or private schools. We started out as individual souls, typically 50 to 100 million years ago. The humanoid form itself is much older than that. So these bodies were already very sophisticated when we first entered them as spirits. But we'll say 100 million years ago is approximately when Homo sapiens began, this modern form of humanity. And it started in the Pleiades star system. The humanoid form originally started in what we call the Lyra Vega star system. And then they migrated to Pleiades. The Pleiades stars are very young stars. A billion years ago, many of them weren't even fully formed yet. So the planets cooled and became habitable, let's say 100 million years ago. I'm oversimplifying. And so we started colonizing planet Earth. We'd have small colonies in different parts of the Earth, but it wasn't until about 10 million years ago that there was a fully functioning society or civilization on the Earth, which has been called Pangaea, Land of Pan, different names. And then, we had Lemuria, Atlantis, ancient Egypt, and others that came later. But the Hopi prophecy talks of four civilizations. And of course, that would be Pangaea, Lemuria, Atlantis, and the present civilization. And then after a big calamity, the fifth one emerges, the fifth world, after the calamity. Now, the original Hopi prophecy shows a stairway to heaven and a spiral going down, happening somewhere around 2012 to 2030, somewhere in that time frame. And that means some of humanity is going to take the upper path, move into the more higher dimensions, and some will take the path of what looks like death and destruction. I call it recycling. It just means these souls are going to go somewhere else that is more suited to their level of vibration, because the Earth is ascending with or without us. It's part of the cosmic program. I explain this in the book, Earth Changes and Beyond. I go into the geometry and the physics of the Earth changes a little bit. And we're right approaching the peak of what we call the galactic shift, which is around 2025. So, of course, you're familiar with the precession of the equinox, which happens about every 26,000 years. Now, maybe the Maya didn't quite get it right. Maybe 2025 was their date as well. But 2012, of course, we all got excited about 2012. And a lot did happen underneath the surface in 2012, but we didn't have some magical opening up where we all just descended up in a fiery chariot. Didn't happen. And some people got disappointed and stopped believing the prophecy at that point. But time has always been a variable because it's a function of free will. And so my guides and I tend to get prophecy correct, but we don't always get the dates correct. And no prophet or seer that I know of has ever gotten the dates completely accurate. They did say that the population of Earth was going to top out at around 8 to 9 billion in around the year 2020 to 2025. That was their original estimate. And it does look like that's happening. I check clairvoyantly on the population of Earth, like maybe every couple of weeks, and it's gone from 8 billion 2.5 years ago to 8.1 billion now. And that's, it's slowed. It's starting to level off. And there's various reasons for that, which we don't have time to go into in this broadcast. But suffice to say, getting back to the history, there have been at least 23 different extraterrestrial races that have interacted directly with humanity in one form or another, whether they interbred with humanity, some of their bodies looking very much like ours, or whether they abducted people, took them on the ships and manipulated our DNA, or, you know, there are various other ways that they have affected humanity. So we have been, yeah, you could say as a humanity, we've been engineered in a laboratory. I know that doesn't sound very, very good, but in a way it's true. Our DNA has been manipulated many, many times by different races. Some of them thinking that they're doing us a favor, perhaps, and some of them with malevolent intent. So you can read about that in the book, so I'm not going to go into great detail on that. But we are now in this period, I'm going to say from 2012 to 2030, a period of rapid shifting and changing on the Earth. After 2030, things start to stabilize a little bit, although it'll still be a very tumultuous time. So, of course, this has been, you know, detailed in the Scopi prophecies and the Maya prophecies and many other places.
It's very interesting. Thanks for sharing. There's a lot of similarities with the, you know, from the society teachings. I mean, the quickening you're talking about and this division of higher and the lower and the civilization.
Separating the wheat from the chaff, as it says in the Bible, which of course the ego seizes on and immediately goes into judgment and thinks, oh, we're the chosen ones, or you're not the chosen, you're the little people, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you see it going on today in the world, you know, that one group thinks that they're chosen by God and their God is better than my God is better than your God, all that nonsense, you know.
It's important to remember that the Mother Earth in all this, I mean, you know, we're the fleas on the back. The Mother Earth is the living goddess, millions of lives more evolved than us. Eventually, our group souls merge and we eventually become a planet, and eventually planets become suns and galaxies evolving back to God. We're all evolving back to God. And so the Mother Earth, she, as you say, she's going through this, you know, she's accepted her initiation, or she's storing these energies. And she has to release them. And then there is another planet behind the sun, planet X, that we have to go through.
Yeah, and in my prophecies, I put 2030 as the date when we start being significantly influenced by Nibiru. However, Nibiru is not like three times the size of Jupiter. I think it's only slightly larger than the Earth. And it's going to make some type of a trajectory through our solar system, but it's not clear exactly how it's going to come in. Some astronomers have detected the gravitational shift. Yeah. They haven't actually seen the planet itself, but they've seen the gravitational shifts that are already affecting the outer solar system. So, that's going to have an impact on us around the year 2030. And it's going to be about a 30-year impact. It'll last till about 2060. So that will be an additional impetus toward ascension. It'll
And do you think some of us will go to that planet? Is that also in what you've heard?
Well, it's levels 5 through 9 are what my guides describe Nibiru as. And that means there are 5th density beings there all the way up to 9th density. And of course, they've interfered with humanity in the past, some of them for benevolent reasons and some not so benevolent. A lot of these beings, when they come into the frequency of Earth, they drop in vibration and they get overcome by ego, such as Jehovah in the Old Testament, you know, wanting to be worshipped and passing judgment on souls. You know, that obviously is a lower vibration than the God of the New Testament, you know, where they talk about love your neighbor as yourself and, you know, this sort of thing. So you kind of have to take it as, yeah, the Old Testament of the Bible is heavily influenced by beings from the Sirius star system. Nibiru is originally Sirius C. I was a planet from the Sirius C star system, a brown dwarf star. And then the gods of Egypt were originally from Sirius A, which is the star that we typically see in the night sky. And then, of course, it's got our trinary system. It's got a Sirius B and Sirius C. Sirius C wasn't even visible with our telescopes until recently. But the Dogon tribe in Africa had an accurate astronomical map of the Sirius star system drawn on the cave walls, you know, down to the nearest detail of what we now finally know with our telescope.
What about the inhabitants of the planet Mars, Jupiter, Saturn? Are they also in your teachings?
Well, for a long time, there were people underground on Mars. I think most of them eventually died off. They were the descendants of the Martians who were on the surface when they had the nuclear war, which I've been told was about 1.4 million years ago. Just recently, scientists have done some radioactive dating of materials on Mars, and they've come up with about 1.4 million years ago, there was some type of atomic issue that happened on Mars. They're just now discovering that. And then Maldek, which was destroyed, I think, about 3.2 million years ago by what today we would call neutron bombs that destroyed Maldek.
Is that now the asteroid belt? Is that what?
Yeah, that's now the asteroid belt.
Ah. And we had that about 18 million years ago, and that's...
Again, time is a little bit tricky, so we don't know. Maybe one of these is correct, or maybe they're both not correct. I don't know. But it's not so important when it happened, but why it happened is, you know, what is the lesson? What is the soul lesson from Maldek and Mars? And we're dealing with that right now. We're not allowed to blow ourselves up with nuclear weapons on Earth. The higher-ups have made that very clear. And there's detailed reports in the military logbooks of UFOs hovering over the missile silos, neutralizing the launch codes of the missiles. This is in the official record.
Yeah. Well, we believe that we are the descendants of Maldek.
Many of us are, absolutely. Same with Mars and Atlantis,
Well, according to Dr. King, the Martians are much, and the Venusians are much more advanced. Jesus was a Venusian who came to this earth, incarnated in human form through the womb of a woman, and all the great teachers, Sri Krishna, the Buddha, they are from beings in our planetary system, because I think that's the way it works. That's a little difference that I see between our teachings and yours, is that it's not people from the Pleiades coming a long way away, but it's, we live in a multi-dimensional multiverse where, you know, people in one solar system, they kind of take care of their own, and we're kind of
system that I have received, or the information I've received, Venus could be considered like one of those midway stations where, for example, my twin flame Leah is from Venus, and fifth and sixth density Venus is a beautiful world of, you know, liquid light, fountains and gardens and just everything crystal and buildings. And it's just the most amazing place. And she says a lot of bees from Arcturus and Pleiades and other places that they kind of, Venus is like their stepping off point for working with Earth, you know, that it's like, okay, we'll come in, we'll step our vibration down, we'll come into the upper realms of Venus, and we'll operate from there when we're helping the Earth. So that's kind of how they describe it, which sounds a little different than what you're describing.
Mm. I think, which planet is the, according to our teachings, Deborah, is Jupiter. The...
We're told that Jupiter's is the reception planet, because and where we get people coming in for before they go off to Saturn, because we're told Saturn is the most advanced planet we have in our system. But the but what you're saying on that, on those step downs, we're told that the people from, let's say, Venus, are travelers and teachers. So it's a two-way street. They will go out and into the galaxy and go where they're needed, where they're most needed, to bring the vibrations into balance. And we are, and then we take in reception. You know, our reception planet is Jupiter, and then from there, they're taken out wherever they need to. And the interesting thing that's just come to me is that we're told that some of the entities that come for teachings on Jupiter, and they need to go to Saturn, but they can't, they actually need a physical vehicle to get them from Jupiter to Saturn, because they're not evolved enough just to, if you want, transform their body and go. And so we're told the Martians, who are that the engineers, this is just me being really basic in my description, so they're the one that will manufacture the spaceships, will make these crafts to take the delegates from Neptune out to Saturn, and then materialize them afterwards, and then do the same when our guests, if you want, the guests of the solar system, need to come back and then be transported out. So for me, when I started to read and understand this, the workings, I then understood as above, so below. Because before, I just sort of thought, well, I don't know what I thought, actually. I thought that, you know, you'd just go and play a harp somewhere on a cloud, perhaps. But you know, it's actually, we're just a different vibration and a different level of understanding, more clairvoyance, more clairaudience, more knowing, more seeing, or less. And it's this whole, fascinating.
We do talk, you know, that my guides haven't spent a lot of time talking about our own solar system, but they do refer to the councils on Saturn, you know, with level 7 of Saturn, the Saturnal councils. They mentioned that a few times, and their outposts or colonies in the atmosphere of Jupiter. Again, these are at very high levels, because if you go there in the lower levels, you've got 1,000-mile-per-hour winds whipping around the methane atmosphere of Jupiter, and it's very inhospitable for human beings. They couldn't last more than a few seconds in that environment. So these are all at the higher levels. And Venus, of course, is hot, a very hot, poisonous place on the physical level as well. And so all of these civilizations do exist in what I call, well, there's the intermediate levels. This is in my book, Soul Integration. That's astral, etheric, and causal levels 4, 5, and 6. And then we have the celestial planes, levels 7, 8, and 9. This is where angels, archangels, ascended masters, beings of light come from. And then you have the God level, 10 through 12, which is similar to the Ekankar system. When I was introduced to Ekankar many years ago, I said, wow, they've got a system similar to the one I have. So, and then it sounds like we do have some similarities with Aetherius as well, although there's some significant differences there. But Nevertheless, I think we all kind of agree that there are these higher dimensional realms within our own solar system.
Oh yeah, so I mean, it's a fascinating. We could sit here and talk about the differences because what we've received these teachings, and but I think it's important to focus on the positive, particularly your message of love in service, love through service to others.
And I want to say one more thing about that, because I know we're running short on time, and that is that it's important to have neutrality when looking at the world situation. I'm absolutely, well, I guess the human self of me is somewhat appalled by people that I would consider to be waking up that get trapped in these polarities. Like they either believe Israel is all good and Palestine is all bad, or the other way around. And they equate the people with the government in these places. It shouldn't take very much intelligence to understand that the Israeli government and Hamas do not represent the Israeli people or the Palestinian people. You know, how much intelligence does it take to figure that out? But people are so polarized. And, you know, same thing with Ukraine and Russia. Or, you know, yeah, I do stand with Ukraine, the Ukrainian people, not the government, you know. And the Russian people, not the government, you know. So how can you get caught in these dualities? Well, that's part of the situation on Earth, is that so many people are polarized. They're for this and against that, instead of being able to simply see, oh, there's a drama of duality playing out here. Let me radiate love to this drama of duality. Mm. So I think that's the best way to be of service. You know, to radiate love and compassion to the Israeli people and the Palestinian people and anyone else who's suffering, you know, and to end this political nonsense that the orange Jesus is somehow going to save us or whatever, you know, the latest and greatest is. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, I see good in all of these people. You know, Trump has a good side, you know, Biden has a good side. They all have a good side.
Yeah.
You know,
well, in the beginning, I remember you said, you know, God is within us. We are divine spirits. We are.
And to see them that way, you know, to see Trump and Biden as children of God, you know, perhaps they've gotten caught up in duality. Obviously, they've gotten caught up in duality, but they're children of God. Mm-hmm. And to see them in that light, that's the greatest service, to be able to see everyone as a child of God. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's a beautiful note to end on. We could keep going for quite a while longer, and I would like to, but unfortunately we run out of time. So how can people learn more about you? Perhaps join your mystery
school? Well, my website is pronounced Rachelli, the last name. So it's salrachelli.com, salrachelli1l.com is the website. And we have three of my organizers Jan is my business manager, and Yolanta and Manuela are, Yolanta is a wonderful teacher of timeline healing, and Manuela is organizing for me in Germany. And so they are all familiar with my work as well. So you can go to my website, www.salrachelli.com. And there are events coming up in 2024 in different countries. I work a lot with Eastern Europe.
Wonderful. Well, keep spreading your message. We really appreciate it. And if people want to learn more about the Aetherius Society, they can go to aetherius.org.
Thank you for having me on, and you have a wonderful, blessed day.
We will do. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.